Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Building Better Blocks to Healthier Life Show with Penny McElroy. Daily episodes packed full of informational wellness nuggets. Because your healthier life is closer than you think.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and this month we've been learning all about the building blocks to good health from certified integrated nutrition coach Penny McElroy. Now, so far on the 29th day of November, we've had 4 weeks of topics ranging from what is a health and wellness IQ and how can you improve it, to the importance of sleep on our bodies to good health, also to be aware of the types of food we use to fuel our body and the benefits of adequate water, as well as how nutritional supplementation plays a role in today's world for proper nutrition. So we figured we'd take today and kind of recap the entire month. So this is going to be a show that's just a little bit longer than our normal 15-minute show, but we felt like we needed just the additional time in order to make sure that we adequately covered all of the topics that you can in the 30-minute time frame for 28 days. So wish us luck. We're going to get started. So Penny, first of all, at the beginning of the month, we really started introducing you to folks and really what your background was as a certified integrated nutrition coach and how your interest as things that happened with your family, you know, steered you towards this career path.
Yes, my family's lack of health is what started me in this direction. And it was kind of a process. It started out with trying to find out what was going on with my body. After the age of 42, I started gaining weight. I'd never had a weight problem up till that time. I couldn't figure out why, and I wasn't willing to settle for the notion that my age was why I was gaining weight. So I started doing some research in that area. I watched my family members pass away from different types of degenerative diseases. And, you know, when that happens, it kind of, especially as you start learning and you start realizing, oh, that's what was wrong with them. You know, that's what's going on with them. And there is something that they can do about it. We don't have to be victims to our own bodies.
And that really brings up a lot of what we talked about for the entire month, because we identified what the health and wellness IQ was and how you can improve it. Can you share a little bit about that?
The health and wellness IQ is a learning process. That's what it is. You have to learn you have to pay attention to your body. And when your body is telling you something, you need to do research and find out what it is that it's trying to tell you. Symptoms is what we feel. Symptoms is what we see. It's what happens to us. Again, my symptom was that I was putting on weight and I didn't know why. Other people's symptom is they're tired beyond what they normally are, and they don't know why. There's not any real reason for it. They're not doing anything different, just like I wasn't doing anything different with my food and my exercise, but I was gaining weight. You know, everybody knows their own body better than a doctor, better than anybody else out there. We're more attuned to our own body. We know when we feel bad. So our question needs to be, if I'm going to improve my health and wellness IQ so that I can have a healthier lifestyle or a healthier body, so that I can help my kids have a healthier body, I can help my siblings, my parents, then I need to find out, why am I tired? What can I do about it? Why am I gaining weight? What can I do about it? So it's the IQ is what's going on in my body and what can I do to improve it.
You know, that really is key, because our bodies do really talk to us if we'll actually pay attention. I think a lot of times in modern society, what we're doing is if we have an ache or a pain, we're just popping an Advil, a Tylenol, or an aspirin. But what happens over time is if we don't pay attention to those aches and pains, all of a sudden the body's going to be like, oh, well, they're not getting the message. Let me increase the level of discomfort that they feel because I'm not, you know, happy with what's going on. Until finally you wind up in the hospital. And I feel like that is so true of our society today, that we ignore our bodies, that we've got earbuds jammed in our ears because we don't want to hear what's going on outside of the world, but we're also jamming out our own bodies, you know, clues for how we feel.
Exactly. I was really shocked that everybody around me, people where I work, my family members, they get a cold, and the first thing they want to do is, where's the medicine? They have a headache, and the first thing they want to do, give me an aspirin. You know, all those drugs from the pharmaceutical industry, basically what they do is they put a Band-Aid on the problem. And if you put a Band-Aid on a problem long enough, that problem will fester underneath. So if you've got a fever, there's usually a reason for it. And that's really the body's way of being able to burn off whatever it is that is going on the inside. Yeah, there's so many natural remedies. They are called wives' tales. There's truth behind that. We were talking last night about you. My grandmother used to say, put Vicks on the bottom of your feet and put socks on if you've got a cold. Now, as a kid, I'm thinking, what does my feet have to do with my head? You know, because it didn't make any sense to me. But actually, there is stuff in Vicks that when it soaks into your body through your feet, it actually helps with the cold. And I didn't know that. And I doubt if she knew that, because I'm sure her mother told her the same thing. So there are things that we used to do before pharmaceutical medicine became such a staple in our lives that actually helped us address the underlying issue and not just put a Band-Aid on the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes so much sense, because the next thing that we talked about was how to identify what your health and wellness IQ was, and it really amounted to look at the 10 people that you hang around, you know, family and friends, and look at their general state of health. And more than likely, not all the time, occasionally that's not the case, but majority of the time, that is your health as well.
It is. And the thing is, if you look at the 10 people that you hang around and you are more health conscious than they are, you're more concerned about my weight, my exercise program, am I drinking enough water, and all the other things, you can be the catalyst that changes them. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you need to go out to find people that you want to change, but it just means that if you take charge of your health through wellness program, then you can actually make a difference in their life.
Well, and that ties into, well, what do you do if you are the only one? We talked about that as well, was that what if it's just you and operating in a silo when you're doing just about anything over time is a challenge, because at first you have the willpower to get things done, but if it's just you and you're fighting against the current, it becomes more and more challenging to stick to it. So we talked about finding some buddies, that the key to any program is really having buddies with you along the route.
Exactly. And if you can't find a buddy that is within your family, then you have to reach out to other people. Reach out to somebody at work, somebody that has the same desire that you do to improve their health through lifestyle changes. Make that person your accountability partner. Make that person your buddy, someone that you can talk to when you're tempted, someone that you know they understand that why you're eating a salad instead of the ice cream and cake that's sitting out there on the table. Somebody that is going to encourage you to move forward and make a better choice and have better health tomorrow than what you've got today. Make better choices today so that tomorrow's health is better.
Absolutely. And some of the places that we talked about finding those groups were meetup.com has walking groups, cycling groups, fitness groups, you know, walk the dog groups, walk the, you know, baby in the stroller groups, all kinds of groups that you can kind of become involved. Facebook has groups as well. There's a lot of places out there. If you have a Fitbit, there's an entire Fitbit community. There's apps online, apps that you can have on your phone that have online communities like Map My Ride or Map My Fitness or Strava or any of those types of things. So there are places to find your community. You just have to kind of look around and you'll discover them. The next thing that we talked about, Penny, was family health, and that sometimes the biggest sabotage to your health could just be your family.
Exactly. They see you making changes, and people are resistant to changes. So they see you making changes, and they may not like it. It could be even be ethics, or it could be your family's history, culture. That's the word I was looking for. It could be the culture that you're in. you know, mom has made homemade tortillas all her life, and everybody loves her homemade tortillas, and now all of a sudden you're turning them down. And that is an insult, you know, or it could be pasta for an Italian family. It could be anything that is not in your best wellness ideal life. So you need to look at your family members. You need to be gentle with your family members. You need to explain to them why it is that you're making these changes. You need to not be obnoxious with the changes that you're making. They say people that are ex-smokers are some of the worst people in the world to be around, and I've seen some of that. And that's not the person that you want to be, because the only way you're going to get your family on board with what you're doing is if they see you make positive lifestyle changes and they see the results. The results is what happens. And there's things that you can do, like I'm going to treat my family by fixing supper tonight, and I'm going to make things that are healthy, but yet I know they're going to eat it. They're going to like it because they taste good. And there's so many things that are out there. Pizza, you can have pizza, but you look at the crust, you know. Try the cauliflower pizza. Try the almond flour pizza. You know, there's so many different recipes out there that you can try that gives you the ability to make a healthy meal for your family that is tasty.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that we talked about was, as you said, don't be obnoxious about it. Don't be a know-it-all. Sometimes you need to do the subtle changes quietly, or do what I call a health kick sneak attack, and just slowly integrate these changes into your family so that eventually they don't really know what hit them. And it's just something
exactly.
that they begin to, you know, incorporate into their health. So then we also talk about eating out. So it's great that we're controlling what we're eating in, but what about when we're eating out?
Again, that's just choices that you make. You can go to almost any restaurant, fast food restaurant, sit-down restaurant. It doesn't make any difference. They're going to have healthy things on their menu, but they have other things that you can substitute. Even if it's not actually on the menu, because most people will have potatoes, then they'll have some kind of vegetable, then they're going to have bread, and then they're going to have a main meal. And whether that main meal is meat or whatever that main meal might be, a pasta or anything, if you've got the choice of a potato, ask them to put two vegetables and stop the potato. If they bring bread to the table or chips to the table while you're waiting on your food, ask them not to do that. Ask the waiter or waitress not to do that. There's minor things that you can do when you're eating out that you can make better choices. And don't beat yourself up if you don't do that right away. Because a lot of times...
And one meal at a time, right? One meal at a time.
Exactly.
So maybe one meal didn't go properly. That's okay. You have the next meal to kind of get it better or, you know, improve upon.
Yeah. And a lot of times we make choices, especially when we're eating out, based on what we've always done, based on habit. So I can't tell you how many times I have eaten something and then thought, oh, I said I wasn't going to eat that anymore. Or I said I was going to do this next time. So don't beat yourself up when that happens, because it takes time to change habits.
Right. And then we talked about emotional stress and food. And at this time of the year, when we're looking at the holiday season, it can be a joyous time of the year, but can also be a stressful time of the year. And sometimes when we have emotional stress or situations that are just, you know, hitting us from all directions, we turn to food for comfort. So how do we handle some of that emotional stress when it comes to food?
Well, we're actually going to have a how to cope with holiday stress group health coaching session at Pinnacle Wellness on the 10th at 7:30. For those that are local, you can come and join us, and we'll share tips on that. You've got to find a way to be able to cope with that stress, and for everybody it's different. You know, exercise is something that helps cope with stress. So make sure you don't cut out your or skimp on your exercise program during this holiday season. Change some of the habits that you do. You know, like I'm thinking about all these people going shopping on Black Friday. I wouldn't buy anything on Black Friday if it was 10% what the normal price is. Because to me, the holidays is not about that. It's about family. So look at some of the traditions that you have and see if there's something you want to implement. Do it slow. You know, take time for you. make sure that you have an exercise program that you, if you're sticking to, if you have one in place, stick to it. If you don't have one in place, kind of start one. Listen to some easy listening music before you go to bed. Take a breather when you feel yourself stressing out. And I know that's hard. Geez, I know that's hard. When you are under a deadline and you've got people coming and there's so many things that you want to do. But like I told somebody the other day, so what if it didn't get done? Let it go. That's not what it's all about anyway. Take a deep breath. If your entryway is not perfectly clean before somebody walks in, if they love you, they don't care. You know, so you've got to let some of that stuff go. Get a tension ball. You know, meditate for a few minutes. Pray. Whatever it is that it takes for you to be able to cope with that stress that's in your life, whether it's holiday stress or anything else, stress is a killer. Stress will aggravate any issue that you already have. You've got to be able to manage stress.
Well, that kind of dove us into the next week's topics, which was the quality of sleep. Stress activates a lot of things in our body that gives us inflammation, but sleep, it's kind of the opposite of that. That's when our bodies have the time to rejuvenate, to repair, and to kind of get us, you know, refreshed for, you know, the next day.
Exactly. And one of the things that I found to be most helpful with getting my sleep patterns back on track, I think every mother gets their sleep patterns off when they have little kids, and unfortunately, a lot of times it never goes back unless you consciously make an effort to do that. And as we get older, a lot of times our bodies don't want to sleep as long. So what I found to be most helpful with me to help me get my sleep patterns back where they needed to be was to write it down. When I had to write down, again, have a buddy, have an accountability partner. You know, when I had to write down what time I was going to sleep, how many times I was waking up in the middle of the night, what time I was getting up, through the year-long sleep study that I did, that there was basically a journal that I had to fill out. Had I had any alcohol the night before? You know, what are my emotional thoughts when I'm trying to sleep? How can I close those out? What is it? Light is very critical for sleep. You've got to keep the lights out. You've got to have complete darkness so your body knows that it's sleep time and it produces the melatonin that you need to get to sleep and to stay asleep. You know, if you need a sleep aid, try the melatonin because the sleeping pills can create problems with your health that may not be on the bottle of warning. So do everything in your power to be able to do it, to be able to sleep at least 6 to 8 hours every night. So I average 4-7. If I sleep 8, that's too much. If I sleep 6, it's not enough. 7 seems to be perfect for me. And everybody's body is different. You know, try to go to bed earlier. Don't expect to change your sleep patterns overnight. Do it at 15-minute increments. Go to bed 15 minutes earlier tonight. You know, do that for a week. Then go to bed 15 minutes earlier before the next week. And that's 30 minutes before you were going to bed 2 weeks ago. So little by little, change that. But make sure you're getting quality sleep. Keep the room cool. And I mean, they're saying 65 degrees, you know, so to me that's cold. But your body seems to sleep better in a cooler room, you know, even if you have to use a blanket. But those are just keys on how to go to sleep. And don't depend on a glass of wine, because that is kind of a false reading to your body. And I know that's tempting, yeah, and occasionally it's not going to hurt you, but there's other things that you can do.
Yeah, so important to have good sleep and to manage your electronics as you're doing so. And as you said, Penny, you know, it slowly increase the time that you go to bed earlier so that we can be just like kids. You know, when we were kids, our parents put us to bed at a certain hour, and it was always the same time every night. And so if we kind of go back to those childhood habits, we'll probably wind up having better sleep. And if we have better sleep, we have better days. So Next, the third week, we went into food and water and why it was important to be aware of the fuel that you use to power your body, as well as the importance of adequate hydration.
Hydration is something that most people don't pay a whole lot of attention to. You know, you can go the whole day and you wonder, oh, did I drink any water today? You know, and there's certain things that is key to a trigger to let you know that you don't have enough water, that you haven't drank enough water during the day. People that have headaches, one of the first things that I tell people to do is to drink a glass of water. And a lot of times that headache will go away. So the headache is a key that, hey, I'm dehydrated. There's a full body vibrating machine that I've got at my house. The Pinnacle Wellness has one of theirs because there's so many health benefits to that. But one of the things that I've discovered is that if I get on that full body vibrating machine and I have not hydrated well that day, my body will just actually tingle all over, almost to a burning, because I don't have enough water. So that's a key to me that I need to drink some more water. One of the things that you can do that I know works, I had a friend bring this to my attention, remind me of it. If you drink a glass of water, you're trying to lose weight. You know, you're trying to control what you eat, even if it's not about losing weight. If you drink a glass of water before you eat and you drink a glass of water after you eat, you're going to be able to control the food that you eat better than you would otherwise. Because a lot of times when we think we're hungry, in reality, we're just thirsty. But the feeling that we get is so similar to hunger that we confuse the two. So if you feel hungry, try drinking a glass of water first and see what happens. Our body has to stay hydrated. I mean, the biggest majority of what we're made up of is water. So what happens when we deplete it through bodily functions, when we deplete it through sweat, we've got to replenish that in order for our organs to work right, our skin to be hydrated. It's critical that you drink enough water. I carry a water jug with me everywhere I go, and I try to make sure that I drink 60 ounces of water on a daily basis, and I probably should be drinking even more than that. But 60 ounces seems to be a comfortable place for me. So it's get used to that. You know, try to eliminate the sodas, because sodas actually will make you thirstier. People will say, oh, I've got to have a Coke because I'm thirsty. No, have a glass of water first. Then see if you even want the Coke afterwards.
And then we actually did talk about that, how for me, one of the ways that I got off of soda a few years ago was that I started drinking mineral water, and in my case specifically, it was Topo Chico, which I don't know if that's something that's available all over the country or maybe just here in Texas, but it is a Mexican mineral water from a volcanic mountain area, and it is something that whenever I felt like I wanted a soda, I would reach for this Topo Chico, and it's, you know, carbonated. It's naturally carbonated, and so that seemed to satisfy that need, and now I can't remember the last time I had a soda. It's been a while. It's very rare now for me to have a soda, but it's not so uncommon for me to have Topo Chico. So that sometimes you just have to find those substitutes to kind of transition you away, and it doesn't have to be Topo Chico for you. It could be something else. But the next thing that we talked about, Penny, was a low glycemic diet, what low glycemic meant and how we could incorporate that into our diet.
And low glycemic is something that has become, at first, you know, a lot of the dietitians were saying, oh, it's a fad diet, but it's not. Our body is made up in such a fashion that we are supposed to be keeping our blood sugar within a specific narrow range. We're not doing that because of the food that we eat. We spike our blood sugar, then our blood, and we'll spike it with things that are real high in sugar content, so it goes high fast, and then it will drop just as fast, and it'll go down below the normal range, and that creates a whole series of chemical reactions within our body that makes us crave the things that when we were at the high. So it's like a roller coaster ride. And after a period of time of being on that, then our bodies will tip over into insulin resistance and finally into diabetes. And we wonder why there's so much diabetes today when there didn't used to be. That's exactly why. When the fast food restaurants came into existence, that's when the 20-year start for most people came into existence. Because those are most of the food that you're going to find in a fast food restaurant is actually going to spike your blood sugar. So that's what has happened to us as a society. When we tip into the insulin resistance, that's when the weight gain starts. And we don't know why, because we may be eating less food, we may be exercising more, but we're still gaining weight. And we don't understand that our body is resisting the process, the way that it processes our insulin. Insulin is released because that's the body's way of dealing with the sugar that we take in. And it gets the sugar into our cells so that we have energy. That's what sugar is for, is to give us energy. And we need sugar, but we need the right kind and we need it in the right balance. So eating food that is not going to spike your blood sugar is critical to helping to keep your body functioning the way that it was meant to function. And low glycemic food, you know, when I first heard it, I'm thinking, what the heck is low glycemic food? What does that mean? And it's things like fresh fruits and vegetables, lean meats. You know, you can call it a paleo diet, you can call it a Mediterranean diet, but it's all the same thing in that you want to keep your blood sugar within that normal range. So you have to figure out what foods can I eat. And there's books out there you can get on the internet and you can Google it, find out what is low glycemic food. What does that look like? You know, but understand that if you're eating at least 80% of your food is real food. That means that you could pick it off of a tree, pick it off of a plant, pull it up out of the ground. If 80% of your food originates from that, you know, if you're talking about canned food, that's a processed food because it goes through a manufacturing plant to become food in a can. You know, even the frozen food goes through a process, but the process is more natural. So it's better to eat the frozen food than it is the canned food. The best is to eat organic vegetables with a minimum amount of fruit. That is the best. If you can't do that, eat local. Go and buy your vegetables from a quarter guy that is selling vegetables that he grew out of his garden or out of his farm in Lytle or wherever it is that he grew it at. But eat local as well. Yeah, and then go to frozen. And after frozen, you don't really want to go after that. The more times that food is handled by man in the processing, food processing programs that they put food through, the less nutrition it has. If you find foods on the shelf that says enriched, understand that they probably took those vitamins out. And then they had to put some back in, and what they put back in wasn't as good as what they took out. So enriched doesn't mean anything other than a marketing technique that they use to get us to buy stuff.
Well, speaking of vitamins, this past week we talked about nutritional supplementation and why you personally and also as a health coach recommend them to your clients and also to our listeners, and the reason why supplementation is such a big thing when, you know, maybe 75 years ago, it was a non-event.
The food that we get that's grown today, it does not have the nutritional value that it had 50 years ago, 75 years ago. There's been a huge depletion of vitamins, of minerals, trace minerals in our soil. So if the minerals are missing, then the plants that are grown in that soil cannot produce the vitamins that our body needs. Our body needs vitamins, it needs minerals in order to function the way that it's supposed to. A good example was the spinach. 8 ounces of a bowl full of cooked spinach would give us what we needed in vitamin E to protect our heart. Today it would be 28 pounds. The only way we can get the nutrition we need is through supplementation, and it needs to be pharmaceutical-grade supplementation. You can't go to the store and buy something across the counter and expect it to work.
Yeah, and so we talked about which, if you're looking at all the nutritional supplements that are out there in the world, you can go to the grocery store, you can go to the drugstore, you can go to the big box store, you can go online. It can be very overwhelming to kind of make a decision for which direction to go. And so we talked about how not all nutritional supplements are made equal, and as to why you chose the company that you and I both are independent distributors for.
USANA Health Sciences makes their nutritional supplements the same way that the pharmaceutical manufacturing plants make drugs. That means that every tablet has in it exactly what it says it does, that it is tested for purity, and in USANA's case, not just one time. They actually quarantine their raw material when it comes in. They test it again. They test it when it gets there. Then they quarantine it. Then they test it again. And then they test to make sure that the tablets have in it exactly the what it says it does. In the amounts that it says it does. So I know the scientific research and the manufacturing process that the USANA products go through will give me the best quality nutritional supplements that I can get my hands on. I am totally 100% on board with that. I have had it proven to me too many times not to believe it.
Well, and that goes back to USANA being the world's number one rated nutritional supplement company, which is something that is done by a third party. So if you wonder if we're just where we get our faith from, it comes from not only personal experience, but also from a third party that rates all the nutritional supplements in the world. So then we moved on, Penny, to look at trace minerals and why what they were and why we needed them and where they come from.
Trace minerals. We need trace minerals within our body. It's part of what our makeup is. And again, we used to be able to get that out of the food that we ate that was grown in the soil around us. The way that they processed the food, they grew it, they rotated crops, they let the land set for a year so that it could recuperate. In today's world, about the only place that you're going to find the amount of trace minerals that is equal to the amount that's supposed to be in our body is out of the ocean. And the reason for that is that the trace minerals, the soil that the trace minerals are in, is being washed away into the ocean. And unfortunately, we can't take the ocean water and water our plants. So we're not going to get those trace minerals out of the food that we buy at the store or even that we buy local or organic, because the key is that the trace minerals have to be in the soil in order for us to get it into our body by the food that we eat.
The next thing that we talked about was oils, omegas, essential fatty acids, and just the role, the really critical role they play in our overall health.
I tell people all the time, the essential fatty acids is oil to our body the same way that oil is to the car. Our body needs it in every area, our hair, our skin, our eyes, our organs. Everything about us needs this lubrication from the oil, from the essential fatty acids. Our body doesn't make it. Even if the soil was perfect, our body wouldn't make it. Used to, we could get the essential fatty acids out of fish. Fish, you can't do that anymore because there's too many metals that's in there, like mercury that's in the fish. So you can't eat enough fish to get it. You can get some out of flaxseed oil or flaxseeds, chia seeds. There's different things that you can get it from. But again, it goes back to, can we get enough for our body that we don't have to supplement? And the answer for that is no, we cannot.
So then we went around and talked about the nutritional daily requirements, where that came from, and whether we want to stick to the minimum requirements or in the way that it was built to operate, the way that it was created to.
Well, the minimal would be enough to keep our body from getting things like infectious diseases. such as beriberi, scurvy, you know, those kind of diseases are infectious diseases. And the minimal daily recommended allowance was made so that prisoners would not get these infectious diseases. And that was done way back in the early 1900s. But today, do we face the infectious diseases, or is it another kind of disease? Is it the degenerative disease? The degenerative disease is what we're facing. So the amounts for the recommended daily allowance is not enough to protect our bodies from getting the degenerative diseases. We need more vitamins and minerals to fight off the toxins, the additional toxins and poisons that we are exposed to in today's environment, because those are the things that's creating the degenerative diseases, is the lifestyle choices, is the we used to work hard, we used to eat foods that were low glycemic naturally. We're not doing those things now. So our body's more exposed to things that's going to cause it to be, come down with some form of degenerative disease. So the additional vitamins, the additional minerals that, that our body needs to protect us is going to be on the maximum end rather than the minimal end.
Well, that covers 28 days of shows, 4 weeks of shows that we talked about in. Obviously, we, if you want to get more details into each of the topics of shows and listen to Penny share her knowledge in depth, because that's really where you're going to get good tips for daily living. And what we want to do is let you know that on tomorrow's show, not to worry, we're going to tell you what's in store for the future of the Healthy Building Blocks show and how you can continue to stay connected to Penny McElroy and all of her wealth of knowledge.
To receive more healthy building block tips, simply go to yourwellnessplan.com.